I'm going to bring the word to you this morning, if my voice will hold up just a little bit longer. And I got a word that God has kind of placed in my heart. And the title of my message this morning is Desperate Christians Needed. Desperate Christians Needed. Desperate times call for desperate action from desperate for God people. Amen. It's obvious to this body that we're all living in desperate times. All you got to do is turn on the news, right? And I really believe, that maybe in the near future, the body of Christ is going to see some of the most challenging times that we've ever seen in our church history. And I don't want to be a downer. I want to be an upper. Because let me tell you something. Our redemption's drawing nigh. Every single day. The church, though, let me address this morning. I'm so appreciative of the worship team this morning. Let me tell you something. I appreciate the songs that they sing. Go ahead. That's all right. Go ahead. Pastor Pierre, you led the worship team desperate for God this morning. Well, let me say this to the congregation. It's no more right to sing a lie than it is to tell a lie. Amen? It's not right. It's got to be with the Word of God. And sometimes, though, if we're not careful, the church at large is unfortunately a home to many catchphrases. You know, some of them can land us in some trouble. It's almost like a get out of jail card free. Well, the Lord told me. You know what I mean? It's like, well, what do you say to that, right? But sometimes you got to be careful with that because you might be saying something that's not true. If you say the Lord told me, you better be sure the Lord told you about something. Amen? Am I right? Some of them can land us in a dilemma for using Christianese, I call it, you know. And it's kind of an insider language, if you will, that many newcomers may not understand. But I want to make one thing clear, you know, pointing out, Pastor, that I don't believe being desperate for God, that statement right there that stands alone, is being desperate for God to show up. Well, I got quiet on that one. I understand. I've read the Old Testament. I understand. It's abundant with desperate calls for God to come down. And you'll read that phrase in there. But let me tell you something. A lot of times when God says, when I go down to take a look, he's coming in judgment. And it's not going to be a good time ahead. The Tower of Babel comes to mind. God says, I'm going to go down and see what they're going to build. Guess what? Everybody's language got confused. Amen. I trust this morning the words of Jesus Christ. It said, whether two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. I serve an omnipresent God this morning. Let me tell you something. Jesus is in the house this morning, and he's here with us. And so when I'm talking about being desperate for God, I'm so glad that I'm living on this side of the cross of Christ because he is with us this morning. Isaiah said it, do not fear, for I am with you. Oh, I like I with you, God. Amen. I like it. But being desperate for God isn't about acquiring his presence in our lives. We believe that God is always with us and never forsakes us. Amen. And that the abiding Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that never leaves, will accompany us everywhere we go. But it's knowing that God already exists in our lives and being desperate for God. This desperate need stems from already having a relationship with him. but wanting a deeper relationship and wanting his presence in our hearts more and more. Amen. I want to say something that might be a little hard this morning. We fall prey to, if we fall prey, placing our walk in Christ, hear me clearly, into an autopilot, cruise control mode of just going through the motions, and those motions lack a heartfelt desperation for more of God, the problem is a deceptive capacity of the heart. Nowhere and at no time, nor at any age, I said at any age, you see the white hair, right? Are we ever instructed by Scripture to participate in a been there, I know that, done that mentality? Beloved, we will never, ever, ever reach a final place of having the cup of our souls filled with enough of God. I need him tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Apathy, self-assurance, complacency, and a contented spiritual heart is a very, very dangerous place to be. These are spiritual giants that you must avoid at all cost. In the spring of the year, when the kings went out to battle, David is sitting at home. God has caused him to have victory for every battle that he's ever done. I'm not going this time. I'm going to be complacent. I'm getting apathy. And I'm satisfied to let the army go. And everybody knows what happened next. It's a very, very dangerous place to be. My challenge to you this morning is always, always keep God's amazing grace amazing in your life. And never lose the amazing God. Oh, God, wow me again. Be amazing to me once more. Pastor Chuck, you better get going with this thing. It's a long intro here. Let me tell you something. The intent, while I still have a voice, and the goal of my message this morning is to outline four elements that I believe characteristically is being desperate for God. Why? So that we leave here with a renewed and a refreshed motivation to stir up the gift within us and to know him more and more. Thank you, Ann. To know him more and more and not settle for the status quo. Why are we happy with the status quo? It's never been us four no more. Come on, guys. My prayer is that we're all leaving here today with a renewed enthusiasm and inspiration for a deeper relationship in him. Is that what you want this morning, guys? Come on. My text this morning comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and I'm going to be walking through there with you today. First couple of verses here, and then I'll stop, and then we'll move on in a little bit. But let's take a look at the portion of the word this morning. But first off, we need to pray. Amen. We need to pray for the word this morning. Bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Father, I give you thanks. God, you saw this day coming before I saw this day coming. And I know what the enemy's done to try to stop this word. And I know what the enemy's done to try to stop this service. But, oh, God, you've helped us through the Holy Spirit to persevere and to be here this morning. God, take my words this morning, and, Lord, transform them and feed your people this morning, God, that we leave from the table of our God filled to capacity, that we would feast upon these words, God, for weeks and months to come. Holy Spirit, bring back to our remembrance what we've heard this morning, that we may help someone along the way and be an encouragement to them, oh God. Get Pastor Chuck out of the way this morning, God, and just let the word be yours, oh God. We love you, God. We give you thanks for all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you say amen? Love you guys this morning. All right. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And again he entered Capernaum after some days. It was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And Jesus, and he preached the word to them. Let me give you the first element that I believe of desperate people is that desperate people are hungry people. Desperate people are hungry people. See, this house is like all the other houses in Capernaum. There isn't any new furniture from Art Van or Gardner White, nor any new appliances from the big box store. Come on. This isn't a housewarming party or welcoming of new neighbors. No, let me tell you something. The crowd is there because Jesus is in the house. Amen. The house is packed to the walls with people who are hungry, and they have specific void in their lives. They're hungry. There's a void, and be it physical or spiritual. How many moms we got here this morning? Let me see hand. Come on. Come on, Mom. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to affirm something with you this morning. Babies that are hungry are never intimidated by the kind of people that is sitting around them. All the moms say amen. It could be the highest ranking international figure of the world. But let me tell you something. That baby will put its entire focus and its entire energy on letting you know there's a problem down here. Hungry babies aren't frightened by anyone else's opinion. They don't care about the situation at hand. They instinctively understand that their very survival depends on the ability to demonstrate their hunger to the one who can supply the need, and that is you. Amen. Do you know this morning, church, that our God is moved and he responds to the hunger cries of his children? And he'll always do that. Void and hunger throughout the entire scriptures have always moved the heart of God. Always. He has, and he'll always take swift action under those circumstances and under those conditions. Oh, do you remember learning the first verse of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? And the earth was without form and what? And void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit shows up. Something's about to happen. Something's about to move. The earth was void. It had nothing in it. And it's crying out to God. But God said, I can't stand that. I got to do something about that situation. But God filled it with light and time and order. And the sky, it was too much of a void. And he began to fill it with the starry host. Can you imagine a God that takes the stars and just flings them out on nothing and tells them to stay put, and that's what they do. He filled the skies with that, and with the birds and all of the flying things that fly through the air, like mosquitoes. Okay, I got it. Okay. The sea, it was too much of a void for God. He's not going to take that. And so he filled it with the fish and all the sea life that we see, and the sea life of all kinds. And the land, that was too much of a void for him. He filled it with plants and trees and animals, and he put man there to till it and take care of it. But I got great news for you this morning. I serve the God that filled all of that void. And if he can fill all of that void, he is certainly more than able and more than capable to fill the void of your heart this morning if you just cry out to him in Jesus' name. Do you remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? I know Pastor talked about that a few weeks ago. Let me tell you, the point of feeding the 5,000 is not the little boy. It's not the two fish. And it's not the five barley loaves. See, if I had enough time, I would tell you. You know, if I had enough time, I'd tell you that there's two types of grain in the New Testament. When Jesus walked the face of the earth, it was wheat, and that was for the ones that could afford it. Okay, that was for the ones that had substance. Barley was for the poor people. They were dirt poor. But since I ain't got enough time to tell you, then I'll let that go. Anyway. The little boy had barley loaves. He's dirt poor. He doesn't know when his next meal is going to be. He gives all that he has. And he don't know. Possibility may not be anything left at home. But that didn't even move Jesus. What moved the heart of the Savior was the hunger of the crowd. Do you remember the disciples said, send them away so they can get something to eat? Jesus said, no, no, no. He's the Savior. Hallelujah. He said, you give them something to eat. Oh, by the way, let me have it. I'll give them something to eat. Oh, Jesus is the only answer to a hungry and a desperate soul. A soul who is in need of a refreshing from God. They don't care who's there. They don't care who's looking. They don't care how they're dressed or what they think. Hungry people will always cry out and do what is necessary to fill the void in their hearts and in their souls. Oh, we have a promise from the Word of God this morning that said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not if God's having a good day, not if He has the time. The Word says they shall be filled. I can stand on God's promise this morning. But are you hungry? Are you hungry this morning? Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never what? Never hunger. Never. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Can we stand on them promises this morning? Is that the word of God this morning? We can stand there. But the bigger question is, are we hungry for more of his presence in our lives? Are we desperately hungry this morning? Oh, I hope and pray you are. Mark chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and I'll read just a little bit of the beginning of verse 4, and I'll stop right there. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. When they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. See, that didn't say, they said, sorry, bub, we can't get you in the door. I didn't say that. They didn't say, well, we tried. You know, they didn't say, now, see, this guy, he's a full-grown adult because it takes four guys to carry him. In my weird kind of funny kind of way, I want to be like one of the guys and carrying the guy and, hey, dude, you got to lay off the donuts, you know what I mean? I'm just saying here, you know. That's kind of weird me. No, anyway. The second element of desperate people is that desperate people are dangerous people. They're dangerous people. Hey, I thank the Lord for construction people who don't have a fear of heights. You know, that's okay. Good for you. Good for you. I can go as high as anybody else as long as I keep one of these legs on the ground. It's good, man. It's good. It's good. It's good. I don't care to be up that high on a board, you know. And then, hey, we saw some of that in Cuba, didn't we? Didn't we fall? Woo, okay. When you think about this rooftop maneuver, though, think about it. They're carrying a guy up on top of the roof. the paralyzed man is not laying on a Tempur-Pedic. He's not laying on a Serta or a Stearns and Foster. The bed or the mat that this man is carried by, according to research, was probably not much thicker than what a heavy bed quilt would be to us today. That's it. But he's entrusted his life into the hands of his four friends who possess the ability that he does not have. The brother's hanging around with dangerous people. I like hanging around with dangerous people. I really do. Men that don't allow the circumstances to dictate the purpose. Friends who are not afraid. They're not fearful. To the point of being dangerous, of carrying a man up on top the roof, to step outside the norm, to get their handicapped friend to Jesus. Oh, if I can just get him to Jesus. You see, desperate people are dangerous people, and you never know how far they'll go to get what they need. You never know how far they'll go to get what they need. You know, my mom, I got to talk about mom. Hi, mom, you know. I got to talk about mom this morning. Mom's in her 80s, and I won't say 80 what, because she might be getting a copy of this message this morning, so I'm not going to say it. Anyway, mom wakes up every morning, and she's in an incredible amount of pain because she has an uncorrectable back condition. And besides that, mom, bless her heart, she's got a pacemaker. You know what I mean? For her heart. And she's battling some things. And on first glance, if you took a look at my mom, about that high, she probably isn't a physical threat to anybody. I mean, you know, she cooks dinner. She cooks a little while, and she has to sit down a while, and she cooks a little while. But she goes to church, though. But I want to confirm to you this morning that my mom is a dangerous, dangerous lady. Because you know what? She knows how to touch the throne of God in prayer. She's a dangerous lady. Our son Jeffrey was employed by a contract house to a particular company. And he wanted to be directly hired by this company and not be contract anymore. But Jeff called his grandmother. He said, "Mama, I need you to pray the way it would be made clear that they'd offer me a job and I can get out of this contract house." And things got real serious when mom asked her grandson, "What is the name of the supervisor that needs to approve your application to get hired?" Mom got right down to it, man. Business. Jeffrey told me, he said, "I knew when Mama asked that question, it was game over for you, pal. It was done." He believes that his grandmother says, "Hey, when Mom prays, hey, God says, hang on a minute, Sarah's on the phone." You know, you just stop everything, you know. Oh, by the way, you want to know the end of the story? Jeff was hired by the company just a few months later. He was hired. Didn't the Apostle James, in his letter to the church, said the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails, much, much. Throughout Scripture, do you know there's been effective, dangerous prayers that have changed the course of history and have changed the world? You know that? Hannah prayed. She prayed, and the whole structure, the time of the judges, ended, and the time of the prophets began. Samuel was the first prophet. You don't think that changes things? It changed everything. Elijah prayed, and the rain stopped. The whole ecological norms of the season ceased until he prayed again, and only then they take up the regular path, and the season resumed its created order. That's a dangerous prayer, man. Hezekiah prayed, and the whole earth not only stopped, but it backed up 10 degrees. You don't think that's a dangerous prayer? And then it resumed its orbital path. Oh, but let me give you the best one, the most dangerous prayer of all. Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, "Father, not my will, but yours." And we receive forgiveness for sin that could not be attained in any other way. And it changed the course of history. Has Jesus changed your life this morning? That's a dangerous prayer. It's dangerous to carry somebody up to a rooftop just by a means of a thick piece of cloth. Doesn't make sense in the natural. But when the battles of life arise, and the enemy comes rushing in, flinging those fiery darts that Paul talked about at your circumstance. Let me tell you, folks, the best place to be is in the house of God, in the middle of desperately dangerous people who know how to get in touch with the one who delivers us out of all our afflictions. This is the best place to be. Don't throw me out of here. I like hanging out with you guys. You guys are dangerous. And I count it a privilege to stand in front of you this morning. But I want to stand in the middle of dangerous people that know how to get a hold of God. How do we do that? Well, we believe that big risk will be rewarded. We don't fear that. Believe what you ask for is possible. We pray boldly. We pray courageously. Come on, Pentecostals, we pray in the Spirit. Come on now. Amen. And always remember that God is listening to your dangerous prayers. Our God hears us. Amen. He inclines his ear to his children, and he hears us. Dangerous people, they come boldly to the throne of grace that they may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. Dangerous people, they boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Hallelujah. I'm not living in fear. I'm a dangerous man. Hallelujah. Because people who live in fear, they're not a danger to anybody or anyone or anything. Come on, folks. Let's strive to be a dangerous people against the forces of unbelief and fear. When we pray for things to happen, I know this, that when Jesus arrives on the scene, whatever that is, got to go. It's got to go. Cancer's got to go. Lupus has got to go. I believe it. I won't be caught in fear and unbelief. Ready to move on? You still love me? All right. Let me finish the second part of that verse 4 there after I get a drink of water. Hang on a minute. All right. I think I got it. The second part of verse 4 says, so when they'd broken through. How many experienced saints, have you ever heard that term, "I got a breakthrough in prayer"? Come on. Let me see you. Got a breakthrough. I got a breakthrough. You know it when you get a breakthrough. You really do. So when they'd broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. Let me give you another element this morning. Desperate people are determined people. Desperate people are determined people. Let me show you a picture. Richard, we got a picture this morning, and I know all my Cuba team knows that picture because they were there. That's a picture of a house pastor. His name is Oscar. His wife is Kenya. And oh, by the way, they only live on about $14 a month. And for the rest of their substance, they have to find little odd jobs and things to do to supplement their income. You remember that, Paul? We were sitting there, and he pastors a church of about 70 people. But that is one determined individual. But you see, they live in Bayamo, where we had that construction site, where we were working. But his church is in El Cato, remember? And I think that was about 20 miles away, about 20-some miles away Brian, you remember about 20-some miles away? They don't have a car. They don't have any transportation whatsoever. So what did they do to get to church for him to preach to 70 people? They have to hitch a ride. They got to find a ride any way they can. If the bus has any space on it, they have to get on the bus. They have to ride. Pastor, what happens when it rains? He said, me and my children, we get wet. Because we walk as far as we can walk, and we do what we have to do. And oh, by the way, they get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning, just to be sure that they can get to El Cauto to preach to 70 people at 10 o'clock. That is one determined pastor. And when I get back home, do you think it really bothers me if we have air conditioning or not? Do you think it really bothers me if we take our offerings up in bags or plates? I wouldn't care if you passed a grocery bag. I'm worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to do it with every fiber of my being because Jesus is in the house this morning, and I came to worship him, and I don't really care what people think. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, there were specific individuals that were driven by a desperate determination to satisfy the longing in their hearts. Longing for something they tried to find in the suggestions, the promises of the world, but the world could never deliver. Let me give you one of them. Desperate determination. Let's talk about Bartimaeus. Oh, I slipped up. He's known as blind Bartimaeus. Yeah. You see, he's a man that society of that day had attached his physical handicap. He can't be called Bartimaeus. He's afflicted. He has a handicap. But he's determined. He's desperate. And he cries all the more for Jesus. Not only was his handicap a problem, because he can't see Jesus coming down the road, but he can hear him. But now he's got the crowd scolding him, saying, hey, be quiet. He's not going to let that stop him. He has a determination in his heart. He will not allow his inabilities or the crowd to silence him from receiving what only Jesus can provide. He has a determination. I can't stay home if it's raining. Well, it's raining. I think I'll stay home. Yeah. Got to come to church this morning. Got to worship the King this morning. Bartimaeus, let me put it in current terms. Bartimaeus, don't you know you can't pray at the high school football game? What's the matter with you? You have to be quiet. You think that bothers me? I hope it don't bother you. He cried all the louder because he was determined. Desperate determination compels a woman. We don't even know her name, but we know her physical disease. She has an issue of blood. She's considered unclean by the culture of that day. And oh, by the way, you can't go to church like that. You can't go in the tabernacle if you have that kind of disease. You can't worship with the crowd. And she presses through the crowd of people because she has a determination like no other. The crowd avoids her as being unclean, but she presses anyway, and she goes and she goes, and she touches the hem of his garment. And she's set free without restriction, without the humiliation from the masses anymore, free from her infirmity that the doctors could never erase because she had determination. Desperate determination drives a grown man, Zacchaeus. He was small in stature, the Bible says. But you know what? He didn't let his height say anything about that. He says, I'm going to get mine. He says, I'm going to be a tax collector. He become a Roman, a part of the Roman IRS, if you will. Yeah, he's got the corner office, but he's got the wealth to go with it. But there's something happens when Jesus arrives. He climbs a tree in his three-piece suit like a playground child just to get a glimpse of the only one that can fill a void that in his soul that the wealth and position it would never satisfy. But it takes determination. Desperate determination propels a woman with a background so shameful that the social order of that day has dropped her name. She's only known as the sinful woman. Only known by her past. Grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, guys. Been on the streets for far too long. But she has a determination like nobody else. She breaks into a Pharisee's dinner party where the women of that day would never be allowed, just to anoint the Savior's feet and to wash them with her tears. And Jesus forgives her sin that a society will not forget because she has desperate determination. And it's that kind of desperate determination for a miracle in their friend's life that pushes these four men to carry this man an untold distance, to break through a roof and lower their friend to the only one that can restore life to unresponsive limbs. If I can only get him to Jesus. Beloved, do you know this morning it's that kind of desperate determination that will propel us into a presence of God like we have never experienced before? We will not let labels or handicaps or diseases or somebody's past to deter us from the blessings that God has in store for us. If I can only get him to Jesus, he makes all the difference in the world. Desperate determination is the motivation to set ourselves toward godly pursuits and never allow ourselves to be distracted or discouraged. If I don't get my miracle today, I will be looking for it tomorrow. If I don't get it tomorrow, I'll be looking for it the day after that. If it don't come next week, I'll look for it next month. If it don't come next month, I'll look for it next year. But I'm not giving up because Jesus said to ask, to seek, and to knock, and I will obey that word until I get a breakthrough. More now than ever, we need people who possess this desperate determination I'm talking about, who refuse to give up in the face of adversity. Paul didn't do it. He was stoned, jailed, led over the wall in a basket because they're trying to kill him. Did he give up? No. He didn't give up. He had that desperate determination of his life. And by the way, he wrote most of the New Testament. How about that? Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes that were sitting there, they're reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Is that amazing to you? It's not even part of it. It's amazing. They had God sitting in front of them. They can't see him. They don't even know who he is. They had the embodiment, the incarnation of Christ sitting in front of them, and they don't even know who he is. But they're supposed to be scribes, and they're supposed to know these things, right? Let me give you the final element this morning. Desperate people are a delivered people. Desperate people are a delivered people. You know, sometimes God helps us by miraculously intervening and delivering us from our hurt and our sickness and from harm's way. But sometimes, you know, he gives us the strength to cope with what we need to face. I won't have faith after my deliverance. I'll have faith through my deliverance. Is that all right? Deliverance is what the four men sought for their friend. And deliverance is what the paralyzed man received. I got great news for you this morning. Our God never changes. He has deliverance for you. That same deliverance is available now and is just as strong and just as apparent. It's the same. And he'll deliver whatever situation that you're in. He can deliver that today. Absolutely. Praise team. Come on, Pierre. Come. Galatians. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. God's saints say amen, amen. But let me tell you something. How many has ever, I got a lot. How many of you have ever received just an absolute over-the-top blessing from Almighty God, and it ain't 10 minutes that the enemy is pounding on your head telling you this, that, and the other? Come on, let me see your hands this morning. You've been there, haven't you? There will always be opposition to those who possess a hungry, dangerous, and a determined for God heart. The enemy will always, always, always try to discount through doubt and unbelief the deliverance that you receive from God. Let me tell you something that's a little different. When you look at this, now I'm kind of weird like this, but I think about microwave popcorn. You know what happens is I unfold the bag like it's supposed to, and I put the bag in the microwave. And ours happened to have a popcorn button on it. And I hit the popcorn button. Do you know that every kernel in that bag is under the same condition, the same power, for the same length of time? But are you like me? Do you know that there are kernels in that bag that absolutely refuse to be transformed into an edible snack? Are you right? All of the people who were in the house where Jesus was not there to receive his words. They were there to trap him and to use his words to bring an end to his message and his ministry. Never allow the enemy to end your blessing and your deliverance. Never allow that. Listen to me. Beware people who refuse to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, who have criticism, discouragement, and stand as a hindrance to the answers and blessings that God has got for your life. Beware those people. There are people out there that will let you know that the situation, the problem is too far gone for God to answer or to provide. Individuals out there who try to interfere, pressing into an answer or a special blessing that you need and you've desired for so long. Let me encourage you. Find folks. Find you some dangerous folks. Find you some determined folks, hungry folks that's been through the trials and yet they persevered. Folks who've been through the seasons of suffering, but they found the victory. You see, the word quit never enters their minds or exits their lips. That's the people of desperate determination. People that know freedom and deliverance. It's those that will encourage you, help you to persevere into the answer that God's got for your life. That's the people you need to surround yourself with, not the naysayers, not the criticizers. Oh, the best is yet. Mark chapter 2, 11 and 12. And I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all. So they all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Oh, Northville Christian, we'll be the ones who arise and say, we've never seen anything like this before. Will people talk about us and say, I don't know what's happening over there, but we ain't never seen nothing like this. If we're going to get there, are we going to be desperate for God? It's the only way. Desperate people are hungry people. Desperate people are dangerous people. Desperate people are determined. But desperate people get delivered through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we love Jesus. Do you love Jesus this morning? Let me say this. Hey, bow your hearts in a word in this morning. I have to ask this question because I don't want to fail my Lord and Master this morning. I don't know if you're a visitor this morning. I don't even know if you've ever gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. But I must ask that question. Is there anyone here this morning that this message has touched your heart? And would you raise your hand just quickly and say, Pastor Chuck, I need to know Jesus. Would you do that? Anybody in the house this morning? Yes. I see that hand. I see that hand. Bless you, my friend. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's pray with our friend this morning. Would we pray together? Let me lead you in a prayer of salvation this morning. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I'm lost, and I'm lost without you. God, I have sinned, and I've come short of your glory. But right now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Deliver me, O God. Become Lord of my life, and I will serve you, my King, all the rest of my days. Come into my heart, Jesus. Save me, O God. And I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, would God's people begin to rejoice in Jesus' name. Someone just got saved. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Praise team's going to sing us a song. I'd like for you to stand at this time. Let me say thank you for allowing your pastor to preach to you this morning with the voice that we had. Love you guys dearly. My heart this morning, though, since I believe there's some people here that have desperate needs this morning, being desperate needs this morning. As they sing, I'm going to invite you to come forward as they sing for desperate needs, but I'm going to do this first. If you've been filled to the brim with God's word this morning, and are satisfied in your soul just for today, that you worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to release you as they sing, okay? I'm going to release you to go home and enjoy time with the family over this Memorial weekend. I'm going to release you to do that. And see, I'm going to be like Pastor Brooks this morning. Have a Jesus-filled week. Amen? Have a Jesus-filled week. So I'm going to release you. As they sing, you can be released to do that. But if you have a specific need this morning, and you're desperate in your heart, and you want to act upon the word that I preached this morning, that God fills a hungry soul, I beg you, don't leave here like you came. Allow me and the pastoral staff to at least have a word of prayer with you. So folks, if you've been satisfied and you love Jesus, you feel free to be released. You can go. But if you have a desperate need in your heart, don't leave here like you came. But let us and the pastoral staff pray for you before we release you today. Do you love Jesus this morning? Amen. We love you guys dearly.